Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Current open supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And this is our special Halloween edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. By the time this actually hits the podcast, though, this will be like the third Halloween edition of the show that we've done, technically. But the one that we're doing right now is through Facebook Live. We're actually doing a live call-in version of the show. It's been years since I've actually done a live Halloween show. Uh-huh. Of course, we've recorded them, but I haven't done one where I can actually take calls on Halloween for, I don't know, 3-4 years
it's been a while.
I've never actually even done one here on this show. It's always been like on regular old radio. But so here we go. We're doing a live version of the show. 662-25-GHOST is the phone number to call in. Because of the magic of what we have one phone line. So if there's someone on it at that moment, wait till the call is done. Then go ahead and go nuts trying to call in. And we're just going to take the calls as we go throughout the show today at 662-25-GHOST to answer your questions. Of course, you can post your comments and stuff up there on Facebook Live as well, and we'll try and get to some of those as well throughout the broadcast today. As we're doing this on Facebook Live, the phones just already started ringing right away, so without further ado, let's just get right into our first ghost story call of the day, and it's coming into us from a friend of mine who I used to work with, and I just posted the interview that I did with these guys on our Facebook page earlier today. Heather Robbins is joining us from my old radio station back in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And Heather, you got a ghost story, it sounds like.
I do. First of all, happy Halloween, you two.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, so fun. Love your show. And, you know, I have so many stories that I had already called in a little bit ago. I've had so many things happen to me throughout my lifetime that, you know, one could call creepy or odd or unsettling, but actually had something very timely and kind of heartwarming that happened last night, as a matter of fact.
Let's hear it.
You bet. I grew up a Cubs fan and lived outside of Chicago. My dad has been a Cubs fan since he was a little boy living in Iowa, and I grew up in Illinois, and he never missed a game as far as having it either on TV or we'd go in person to Wrigley, or, you know, it was in the background if he was working from home. I mean, it was always on. And when he got older and became frail, he had cancer and Parkinson's, we actually moved him up to Wisconsin to live with us so we could care for him. And we converted our garage into a very nice, kind of like a lovely self-contained in-law ensuite situation.
Sure.
So he passed away. He, like I said, never missed a game. It was his joy. And he actually requested that when he passed on, that he wanted to be cremated and he wanted his ashes put into a Cubs urn. That's how much of a fan he was. Well, for some reason, I didn't go as far as the Cubs urn, but we did find something very nice for him. And when he passed away this past November, he missed all of this wonderful stretch that the Cubs are going through right now. Mm-hmm. So last night, of course, was a very crucial game between the Cubs and the Indians. And we all, and a lot of people may or may not know that the Cubs were trailing, and you have to have best 4 out of 7 games to win the World Series. They're in the World Series, and this hasn't happened, you know, forever. So last night, I said out loud to my dad, I said, "Oh, Dad, we're going to watch the game again. Let's do this. We got to go. Let's go, Cubs." And about the 8th inning, the Cubs were winning. About the 8th inning, my son decided to take the garbage out. So he's walking outside, and he comes rushing in, and he's kind of out of breath. And I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "Did one of you guys, were you guys in Grandpa's room tonight?" Like, no. Now, we hadn't been in Grandpa's room for over a month. We had locked the door, and everything was kind of, you know, tidied and kind of just settled and turned off the lights and locked the door. And we said, "No, why, what's going on?" And he asked my husband, "You sure, Dad, you weren't in Grandpa's room?" And like, no. Well, we had come home from dinner to watch the game. The lights were off in his room as normal in the garage area. When he went out to take the garbage out, there was a light on in my dad's room. And the Cubs won the game. Now, one might say, okay, it was an electrical push or whatever. But the thing is, my dad is such a huge Cubs fan, and the Cubs were winning, that I can only liken it to the fact that my dad somehow was present in his room during the Cubs game, because that light came on very mysteriously. Mm-hmm. And it just warmed my heart. It was one of those things where I really felt his presence, and I can only liken it to the fact that he wasn't here to haunt. He wasn't here to spook us. He was here to cheer on the Cubs, and he took that electrical, whatever force it took, to make his excitement known. So
yeah,
that was kind of...
That is awesome. That does fall certainly into the heartwarming ghost story category. And it's one of those where, you know, because we get a lot of calls and stories or people saying, "Oh, all ghosts are bad," or, you know, no, I mean, what could possibly be bad about that? You know, that's all it was. It was him letting you know that he was able to see that game, you know, and be just as excited with you, you know, from the other side.
Literally saying, "I'm here."
You bet.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome, Heather. Thank you for sharing that with us. And by the way,
you bet.
I wanted to let our listeners know that
you have a great Halloween.
You have a great Halloween too. Thank you so much, Heather.
You bet.
All right, take care. Bye bye. Just so everybody knows, I posted the interview. I was on their morning show this morning back on the first station that I used to be on in Wisconsin. And we talked about the show and ghosts for about 15 minutes. So if you want to hear any of that, you can check that out on our Facebook page. The link is up there for that. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Becca.
Hey, Becca, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
We have another Wisconsinite. All right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a ghost story for us?
Yeah, I actually have a few, but I'll tell you my favorite one. I'm actually from Pennsylvania, and I just started listening to your show a couple weeks ago, trying to get in the Halloween spirit. And because of listening to your show, my mom and I have finally figured out that our family is a bunch of sensitives. I think that's what you guys call them.
Uh-huh.
We just are consistently getting haunted, but not ever anything too violent. And it usually, my mom always said it had to do with me, and my stepmom, who's a Wiccan, likes to say that I'm witchy.
Okay.
And that I'm more attuned to that kind of stuff. So fast forward, I graduated high school and I moved to up in Manitowoc, and I was going to a private school up there. And it used to be a convent, and now it's just a private Catholic school. I'm personally not Catholic. My mom was, so she sent me there. And I became an RA in the dorms that were new dorms that were built over the old medical wing of the old convent that is now, it was transferred into what's now called the Mother House, which is on the other side of the campus. The campus itself is kind of creepy because there's like 6 different graveyards and they're all nuns. Mm-hmm. There. So that there's like an eerie feel to the campus in itself. So I became not only an RA in the dorms, but also a security guard for the campus building as well. So most of my evenings were spent walking through this empty building by myself at night. And I remember my first semester wasn't so bad. And my second semester, the guys' floor, they kept coming to me, and I thought they were joking, saying that there was a faceless nun on their floor. Well, none of the sisters were actually allowed in the dorms. Sometimes the postulates were able to get in because they were closer age range to the students. So they'd go in and study, but none of the sisters were actually allowed in the dorm. So it was really strange for the guys to be like, hey, we have a faceless sister walking around our floor. And I was like, okay, guys, haha, funny. And so one night I was doing rounds, and I had walked into the music wing to check, make sure everybody was out, and somebody was playing a piano. And it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And surprisingly, it wasn't odd for the music majors to be in there at 2 or 3 in the morning. So I knocked on the door. I was like, hey, guys, you gotta close up the school. Come on, you got to go back to your dorm. So the piano playing stopped, the light shut out, but nobody came out. So I got my key and I unlocked it, and nobody was in there. I was like, okay, surprisingly, that stuff has happened to me before, and I wasn't as bothered by it. So I walked back to the dorms, and another one of the guys stopped me. He's like, hey, we saw all that nun again. I was like, okay, you guys got to stop with this. This is, you guys are being crazy. Just take it down. And so he kind of like shrugged it off, went back to his room, and I walked this floor. I didn't see anything, walked all the other floors. My last floor was to go down the basement, and I personally don't like basements to begin with, so I always would save that for the very last, and I try to do it as fast as possible. And so I get down to the basement, and sure enough, well, the sisters would use the basement of the dorms to cut out into the mother house, so they didn't have to walk through the graveyard in the winter, so they have to walk outside. So that wasn't uncommon to see sisters down there. So I get down there, and there's a sister walking towards me, and I didn't recognize her. So I was like, oh, hey, sister, how's it going? What are you doing up so early? She's like, oh, I'm just going to the chapel for a late night prayer. I'm like, okay, well, do you want me to wait here and walk you out so you don't have to walk out by yourself? She's like, oh, that'd be great. So I did my rounds, made sure nobody was in the basement. I just lingered for a little bit, and sure enough, the sister came back down, and I walked her out into the mother house and back in, and one of the other students was walking towards me. And he's just like, were you just talking to somebody? I was like, yeah, I was talking to one of the sisters. She just came from the chapel. She's like, no, I just locked up the chapel. There's nobody in there. And I was like, wait, no, I was just talking to her. Maybe she didn't go to the chapel. And then we looked outside, and there was nobody there. The mother house was still dark, so she didn't turn on the front light. And so I was like, okay, I've had it to hear with these stories. I'm not going to let this bother me. So I went and checked the security footage. And sure enough, I was walking in the hallway by myself. There was nobody there on the security footage. And I asked if I could keep a copy of it. And they're like, no, that's privacy laws or whatever. But it was like the weirdest thing, because I had a whole conversation with this woman. And there was no like ill intent or anything like that. She was completely nice. And, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that a sister stuck around after her time. Everything, just making sure the students are keeping up with their religion. But it was super weird that the guys kept coming to me with this like theory story, and then I ended up having my own little story, and I tried telling them. They're like, see, we told you. I'm like, but this one definitely had a face, so I don't know what they were seeing, but I never saw that. Maybe, but I had my own, and I was like,
maybe it makes itself known differently to different people, or maybe your sensitivity is better than theirs, and you're able to see these things clearer than they are.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, yeah, maybe not so much that she was truly faceless, it's just they could make out the outline of a nun, but they couldn't see any more detail, but you were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only time that I've ever actually, like, seen a full-on, like, person and interacted with them. There was one that my mom always called Charlie in the house that I grew up with. She, like, brush everything off as the ghost Charlie. And whenever I would get angry, light bulbs would burn. We had one of those singing washer and dryers, and I remember being in an argument with my stepdad, trying to get him to believe me that crazy stuff was going on. Like, my TV was turning on while it was unplugged, and the lights were flickering, and then, like, as I'm yelling, I was like physically upset and like screaming at him, and the light bulb above us burst. And I was like, see, I told you. And he's just like, how did you do that? I'm like, I didn't do that. And then we had just gotten those new singing washer dryer things that play a little jingle and the buttons would beep. Mm-hmm. And it started beeping, but it wasn't in the normal pitch. And then the song started playing, but it started playing like really, really slow. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And he's like, where's your brother? And we're like, my brother had already like moved away to college. And like, there was no way my brother could be there. There's no way I could have done it. And we walk out, and sure enough, there's nobody in our laundry room. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff that I usually deal with. I've never had like an interaction not knowing that I was interacting with something. And it was just, it was like really weird, but I wasn't like upset at the same time. I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the slider effect? We've talked about it on the show a few times. It's where people have a ability to have a natural interference with electric items, electrical currents, lights, things like that. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, I would look that up, because I think maybe it wasn't Charlie. I think maybe you have a little bit of that slider effect going on there, where when you're upset, you send out this charge that kind of almost does a power surge.
So what were you calling that?
The slider effect.
Slider, like the tiny hamburgers.
Yeah, a slider.
Okay. All right, y'all, I'll look into that, because I didn't even know about like the whole sensitive thing until I started listening to your show, and I was talking to my mom and my stepmom about it, and they're like, that sounds like us, like specifically me, they like to point out, but they've all had instances themselves as well. And I'm definitely going to be calling in with like, I wrote down a list with my coworker today of all the things I need to call in and tell you guys. But I just wanted to tell you guys the nun story, because I think it's the funniest one. The thing you wouldn't expect to haunt is a sister.
Yeah, you wouldn't, and you would all at the same time. I mean, for anyone who's been, and I don't know what the situation is like there as far as how the structures of those buildings are, but you know, having grown up in a fairly Catholic area, there was a lot of buildings that were around, the parishes, whether it would be the buildings that the nuns lived in or what have you. And a lot of them very Gothic, very old, very spooky looking, and they just had that vibe to them. But at the same point, you kind of think, oh, this is, a pure, safe place. But I don't know. Sometimes there were some weird vibes around some of those locations. And I don't know.
Yeah, I had a class in the mother house, and I always dreaded going in there. So just, it was one of those houses. It was one of those places you walk into, and it just smelled like old people and death. I just didn't want to be in there.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I remember they tore down this very large. And I apologize if this is the wrong term, but this is what I was told it was called when I was a child. The nunnery, is that the correct term for the home
term
that they live in?
Usually, okay. A nunnery is usually like. So there's a difference. I keep saying it's a nun, but they're actually sisters because they aren't cloistered.
Okay.
So they are allowed to go out and leave the campus and everything. So technically, they're just sisters.
Okay.
Because most people know them as nuns.
Okay.
So a nunnery is more like a cloistered convent.
Okay. Yeah. And that,
whereas you can also have a non-cloistered convent as well.
Okay. And that's really what I'm thinking of is the convent that they all lived in together, and it was just this giant Gothic building next to our hospital when I was a kid, and it was just creepy. I remember that when they tore it down, and it was almost just, it was really sad kind of seeing it being torn down, because this thing had to be like 100 years old.
Yeah.
And the history and everything that was with it, and you could almost just kind of feel like the energy, when it was being torn down, like, this shouldn't be being torn down.
Mm-mm.
Like, even if it was, I mean, it was sitting vacant for a long time, but I don't know, it was just, it was a very odd moment to see that thing come down. Thank you for your story. I really do appreciate you calling in today.
Yeah, thank you. I'll definitely be calling in again.
Okay, good deal.
Enjoy the show so much.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Okay. All right, and I'm reading some of the Facebook messages as the show goes on, so I'm not trying to ignore you guys, obviously, but if you have a call, you can call in at 662-25-GHOST. One of the comments is you should move your microphone just a little bit over there, just a little bit to the left.
To the left.
So I don't know if that's your left.
To their left?
That way, that direction a little bit.
Why?
Well, move the mic, but not your face, so they can see you better, because it kind of, the way it's positioned now with the camera, it kind of looks like a giant mustache. If you will.
Well.
Or down a little bit, maybe.
Is that better?
A little bit down further.
Can you still hear me,
now? Now put it up by your forehead. I'm kidding.
Oh.
No, it's good there.
Okay. All right.
I could have done that for a little while.
Yeah, you really could have.
Now put it by your ear, because that's where it it picks up everything best.
I'll tell you where to put yours.
662-25-GHOST is our phone number. Let's go to our next caller. And if you're calling in and we're not able to answer, please keep on a trying, or wait really till the call is finished, and then we can go to your call. Hi, who's this?
Oh, this is Ron Ridley.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hi, Ron.
Good. I've written in before. I'm sure you guys probably already know that.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
I'm from up in Oklahoma, Michigan. Yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome to our Halloween Live.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Do you have a good Halloween ghost story for us today?
I sure do, guys.
All right.
My first time calling in, and it's not very long, but it's a good one.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. This happened about 2 years ago at my girlfriend's parents' house. I was kind of puppy sitting. That's what I did for, you know, a couple years when they go away on trips or hockey meetings for their son. So I was at their house. It was about, I don't know, 9 o'clock or so, and their dog, which was a small dash hound chihuahua mix, she was sitting on my lap, and she would always go ballistic if somebody was outside the house. And I'm sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden the dog starts going absolutely ballistic. She's barking like crazy, and she goes to the door, and all of a sudden I hear like 3 or 4 loud knocks on the door. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's there. So I go to get up, and all of a sudden, I hear my girlfriend's voice on the other side of the door. And she said, "Hi, Booger, can you let me in?" And we call each other Booger. It's kind of ridiculous, but that's kind of our pet names. But I thought it was her because she's the only one that knew that. So I get up, and I hear a couple knocks again. I get up to the door. The dog's still going nuts. I open it up. And there's absolutely no one outside. So I look outside, take a look around the side of the house, and there's no cars in the driveway. Her parents are a couple cities away. And I go back in the house and sit down, scratching my head. I ended up calling up my girlfriend, who was at work at the time, until like 10 o'clock. She didn't call me back until then. And she said she was absolutely nowhere near the house. So that's about it for that one.
There you go.
Wow. I love stories like that where they trick you. And it's like, okay, did something come in when I opened the door? At least it's not your house, right?
Yeah.
Find the positive in that there. Yes. Yeah, at least it's not your house, but somebody else, they got some stuff going down. But yeah, that's a good one. When you got stuff like that, it makes me wonder, like, what was the point of the knocking? What, you know, why? Is it just to mess with people? I mean, I guess if I was a ghost, I would do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess so, yeah. Stuff like that always happens to me, though, so.
Yeah.
Thank
you for calling in and sharing your Halloween ghost story with us today. We really do appreciate it. And, of course, all the stories that you have shared with us over the years, we appreciate that as well.
Absolutely. You'll be hearing from me again, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Ron.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys. Right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, you're on Real Ghost Stories Online. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Patty.
Hey, Patty. Happy Halloween.
Thanks. You too. What's your costume this year?
Well, the other day I did a person who was golfing, and I put the photo up on Facebook so you can see it. But I can pull it up here, and I can show it to everyone on camera.
It wasn't exactly a person who was golfing.
It wasn't exactly a golfer, but I was playing the role of a golfer that had an accident on the course. So.
Oh, those are the best. I love those ones.
So I'm trying to put it on Facebook without the glare. You can kind of see it in the video there. We found a half a golf ball a couple of days ago when me and Livy were out golfing, and she kept it because it was kind of cool. And I asked her, like, I wasn't even planning on doing anything, but there was a little Halloween party in our neighborhood, and I decided, I'm going to do something last minute. So she said she had the golf ball. I went and got some of the liquid latex because I always love making zombie-type things up. And I've become pretty good at it since I've been doing it since I was, I think, like 8.
That's so cool.
So I made it look like there was a golf ball lodged into my bald forehead. I discovered this whole other palette now I can work with for zombifying myself.
That's a positive way to look at it.
Because I think the last time I did zombie makeup, I had hair. But now I have like this whole like second head.
Yeah, you can do some terrible things.
So you have a whole new platform to work with then.
Exactly. It's a platform, it's a palette. There's so many positive ways of looking at male pattern baldness. So there you go.
It was so gross because after the party, he took it off, and I swear to God, he left it on the counter in our bathroom for like 2 days and just, I was like, please get rid of that.
Yeah, I was really proud of my work because it was all the flesh that was still stuck to it and it looked like somebody ripped it out of their head. And it was great.
Awesome.
It was like a work of art. I was thinking of getting one of those shadow boxes that they sell at like the hobby stores, and a lot of times they have different kind of like staple
things.
The
only way it's acceptable to do that is if you put it on your fireplace mantle.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yes.
Don't give him ideas,
yes.
Patty.
It's like they have like the staple, like the sailor one and the golf one, it with like the old golf clubs and the old golf pictures. And I was thinking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get like one of those nice, you know, kind of rustic golf shadow boxes and then just stick that into the shadow box.
That's so gross.
I think that's a really good idea.
And then go place it at the clubhouse at some random golf course and put a hidden camera on.
Yeah, exactly.
See how long it takes.
I wanted to call in today, well, especially to say Halloween, but I have a story about the, what is that hotel? It's the one in Estes Park.
The Stanley.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So my coworker that I work with, he went there on a family trip. It was him, his girlfriend, his girlfriend's mom and sister, and then like his girlfriend's niece, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they were just passing through at Estes Park. They weren't staying there, but they, you know, went to go see it. And so they did this tour, and nothing happened on the tour. So they were like, oh, you know, it's bogus. Like, so after the tour ended, they kind of just like walked around, you know, ate lunch there. And so then right before they left, they took some pictures. And so in the like main like area, like the grand staircase or whatever, where that huge window is, him and his sister got a picture together, and they were standing kind of like halfway in the stairs, and then they felt like something really, really cold, he said, and he kind of just like brushed it off because he was a little chilly that day, and he's like, oh, maybe it's because there's people, you know, walking around. So they took a picture, and there's nothing in it. Well, then he took a picture of his like girlfriend's sister, and her daughter was climbing on the stairs like towards something. And they were taking the picture, so they like weren't really even like kind of just realizing like what she was doing. She was crawling towards something. And so they're like, that's weird. So they just kind of like let her do it to take the picture. And in the picture, there's this old guy with the top hat and like a double-breasted jacket looking out the window. And I kid you not, like I started shaking when I saw this picture. You cannot see anything in his face. Like it's just completely gray. Like no detail. You can see the jacket, you can see the hat, but then if you zoom in, there's a lady locked in his arm, like they're looking out the window together. She had this like feather thing on her head, like just completely from not even this time period. And I asked him, I was like, oh, who's that, you know, like not thinking. And he was like, oh, I don't know who that is. And I was like, well, weren't they standing behind you? And he's like, no, I didn't remember seeing them. And he went to the next photo and they weren't there. And I kid you not, the photos were taken like 20 seconds between each other because I looked at the timestamps. I was like, wait, when did you take that other picture of you and your sister? And he's like, oh, that was before we took that one of my sister with her baby in the picture. And I was like, okay. So then I looked at the picture. There was a picture after that one of the people I pointed out. And it was just him on the stairs. And that was like a minute after. So like they were in the middle of the stairs. They would have seen those people come up and down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially if they're
really
wearing
creepy.
Something like that. Wow.
At least he dressed up for the occasion. You know, you gotta give him that. You know, he could have done anything. He could have been looking like something that was rotting away underground for years. But he chose to do something nice.
That is neat.
Yeah, it was incredible. I should have him forward the picture to me because it's insane. Like they look like people and. Mm-hmm. They weren't even there, so it was completely crazy because I've heard stories before about the Stanley on your guys' show and stuff, so I just figured, you know, it just adds to the creep factor of the hotel, I guess.
Those are some of the most difficult ghosts to discern when they look just like everybody else in the picture. We've gotten some of those before for the Seeing Ghost episodes, and I said, where's the ghost? You know, sometimes it's just I can't see it because it's very difficult to pick out. So I'm like, it's the person that's in the photo. Like, it's the one person in the photo.
They're not supposed to be in there, but they're there.
Exactly. I'm like, you mean that's not like a reflection of you or something? Like, oh, wait, no one's holding a camera up. You know, and no, I mean, so those sometimes can be, you know. I wonder how often, you know, we take pictures in public where there's other people around. how often there's ghosts.
How are you going to be able to depict that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, how many of them are dead?
Where you don't know who these people are, you know, or
yeah.
You couldn't tell if they're supposed to be there or not, because you're not going to remember when you go in and look at the photo later if so-and-so was behind you at a mall or an amusement park or something. So it probably happens a lot more than we mm-hmm. than we realize.
Right.
I would say.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the story of the Stanley. I appreciate
of
that.
Course. Of course. Happy Halloween, you guys.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a creepy place. I've never had anything really weird happen to me there, but it has the vibes.
Yeah.
It has the vibes. I was thinking earlier, and by the way, 662-25-GHOST is the phone number to call into our live show today. You can phone lines are open, so whoever wants to call in can do that. And I'm also going to ask everybody who's watching right now on Facebook Live, do me a favor and hit share on this, because that will get it out to your friends, and then it'll just kind of start flowing even more out into the internets, and hopefully even more people will find this, and we'll get some more great ghost stories as we continue the broadcast today. So if you don't mind, hit share on this, greatly appreciated, and probably, you know, people who don't even know this thing exists will see this thing mm-hmm. today and see the ghost stories and pumpkins and two crazy people sitting with a split screen camera sharing ghost stories in the middle of the afternoon and go, what the hell is this? And they'll start listening, and then they'll become addicted to it, and it'll be great. They'll start alienating their family, and they'll be listening to ghost stories.
Next year, you need to do this in zombie makeup.
Maybe that'd be fun. We should both do it in some sort of...
I said you. You would be good.
I said both.
I know.
You don't want to be a zombie?
I don't know. I know you make a much better zombie than I do.
I could totally give you a good zombie look.
Okay.
You saw what I did to Livy's...
Yeah, it looked like something ate her face.
It did. Here, I'll show a picture to the audience, too, because... and it's funny, I learned the tip earlier from a friend of ours. We were talking about, you know, zombie makeup and how to make it look. And I said, I love liquid latex, because that really can create a, you know, creepy skin thing. And he said, oh, use toilet paper with it. Like, I never even thought of that.
And it's a lot cheaper.
Well, you need the liquid latex, mm-hmm. which that's pretty cheap to be given. You can get like a good thing of it for like $2 or $3. But then when you add in the toilet paper, it really does a great job of making it look like a zombie just took a bite out of your cheek.
Okay.
So here it is for I got that reflection going on, but it's probably about the best you're going to get, like right there. See?
Yeah.
I can do like Walking Dead type style makeup. It's a great skill to have. Just put that like on resumes or something, you know, or on like my LinkedIn profile. It's like, what do you do? I like, well, I do ghost stories and make TV and radio ads, that I can do some badass zombie makeup.
Uh-huh.
If you give me some liquid latex and a Kleenex. It's amazing what can be done. 662-25-GHOST, the phone number to call in live right now. The phone lines are open, so if you want to share your ghost story, we would absolutely love to have you on the air right now and hear it. Let me take a look at what's going on Facebook Live while we wait for another caller to come in and see what's up. Lots of people listening today. Oscar is there. Cheryl, Jennifer King. Crystal saying you guys rock. Cisco, what's up, Oscar? So I think Cisco is online. Cisco, if you have any ghost stories today, feel free to give us a buzz. Cisco always has good ghost stories. She's just a never-ending fountain of them, mm-hmm. if you will. Hello from Colorado, Cheryl says. I live close to the Stanley and have lots of stories. There's a lot of stories out of that place. What's up from the UK? Lots of people listening all over the world today to our show. And yes, I see Oscar is listening as well, which, by the way, if you've not heard it yet, there's a new Oscar story that's on today's episode of the show, regular episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's posted in the podcast stream, so you can take a listen to it right there and enjoy some fresh Oscar ghost stories. We were talking earlier about the second caller we had was talking about being able to see the ghost very clearly, and some of her coworkers saying that they couldn't see it quite as clear as the others, or there was
mm-hmm.
missing a face, or it was, you know, some. I'm wondering, you know, is that something where the way that the level of sensitivity,
mm-hmm.
if you will, the most common thing I think we hear about, if you were to say, what's the most common ghost thing, you get shadow people.
Yeah.
I think that's the most common way that people describe seeing a ghost. What I'm wondering about with that, is that because most people are not uber sensitive to the point where they can really make out all the facial features, all the features that would make it seem as if the entity is right there, and you don't realize you're talking to a dead person. But there's a few that have that ability, and that's why that's less common.
So shadow person's kind of like the step between sensing something's there and seeing a full-bodied apparition.
Yeah, and it's not so much about how it's projecting itself, it's about how you're picking it up. It's like someone who is able to really pick out really fine notes in wine. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sensing oak and dirt and a little bit of raccoon pee, just a little bit, and it's probably from the Eastern Ozark raccoons. It's not the Western ones. The Eastern ones have more of a tangerine tinge to them.
Okay.
Versus the other person who goes grapey.
Right.
You know, so is it kind of like that?
I'm guessing so, and the reason I say that is because you can put several investigators in a room, and depending on their sensitivity, somebody may sense something, but somebody may see something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing going on. It's just kind of a spectrum. I've always thought sensitivity was a spectrum, not disorder, but spectrum gift, I
sure.
guess.
Sure. Okay.
And I mean, I've never thought about shadow people being somewhere in the middle there, but that could be it. It could just be, you know, when you're starting to get picture. And then you get clarity.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's kind of how it works. You know, there's so many ways of looking at that.
Could be, but then it seems like a lot of the shadow people stories we get are just not nice ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, I think some just do project themselves as dark entities, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder if sometimes if it's more so a human ghost, it's just a matter of, you're only picking up on that shadow, you know, and there's a gazillion ways we look at this where it's everything from, you know, is it some interdimensional thing? Is it a ghost? Is it your sensitivity? No one knows the
right.
answer, but it made me think about that a little bit.
Sure.
I was just wondering. Hey, by the way, 662-25-GHOST is the phone number to call in and share your ghost story with us live. We would, of course, love to hear that. I wanted to share this in case our audience has not seen this yet, because I don't believe the episode, our regular episodes, have had information on these out yet, but
okay.
But they will. This is the bunk bed bell, and it's not just the one we have. We have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have a lot of them. I think I got like 150 of them.
And we've signed almost all of them.
No, we haven't.
We haven't?
You thought we...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we sat here signing them the other day. No, we signed one bag of them. There's a lot more
okay.
to sign in there. But when you become a yearly EPP to Real Ghost Stories Online, now you can ring along with us as the word bunk bed comes up in our stories. It's lovely. It's a lovely way to annoy your friends and family. So every time you hear bunk bed, you can ring along when you become a yearly EPP. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com for the info on how to do that. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi, this is Gilda from San Antonio.
Hey, Gilda, happy Halloween.
Can you hear
me? I can hear you okay, yes.
Oh, okay, great. I'm just calling really quick. This isn't super scary or anything like that. This happened about 2 years ago. I had a really good friend named Gibby pass away in 2010. And my daughter, who for about a week, she started acting really, really odd, almost like covering her face as if like the sun was shining.
See, this is the fun of live radio.
Yeah.
You're kind of cutting out there, Gilda. Are you there?
I'm here. Give me one moment here.
Okay.
Can you hear me better?
I can hear you better.
Okay, you're saying your daughter was kind of acting strange and covering her face.
Yeah, covering like there was just sun or something she didn't want to see. And so that was, of course, freaking me out. So I'd get her and I'd start praying and again, this happened for about a week. And like I mentioned, she's autistic, so she can't really tell me what's wrong. And I remember specifically on a Sunday night, I'm sleeping, cleaning the house, and she starts doing that again. And so I just grab her, start hugging her, giving her kisses, and it stops. And then my phone rings, and it happens to be my sister-in-law. And she calls me, and she says, "Hey, Willie wanted me to call you to let you know about a dream I just had." And I'm like, "Okay." So I sit down, and she tells me that in her dream, I am sitting at a table, and I look really upset as if I was crying. And she tells me that I didn't know this, but that my friend Gibby was sitting right next to me, and that he looked at her and told her, "Tell Gilda not to worry because I watch over her and the kids." And the moment that she told me that, like, I just felt this lift off of my shoulders. I couldn't explain how I felt. It was just like amazing in a way. And the episodes with my daughter didn't happen again, at least where it looked like if she was scared. So that was a little heartwarming for me because, again, he was a good friend of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was another thing happened about a year later after that. Aurora and I, we walked into my house, opened the shades, and I leave her in the back room because I thought, okay, she's having a good day. She's playing with her toys. Everything's quiet in my house. I just kind of go to the front room and I zone out for a little bit, you know, and I can hear her playing and all of a sudden just start giggling and just playing. That happens, that goes on for about a good 5 minutes or so. And she walks directly to me, and again, she doesn't do a lot of the eye contact, but she looked me straight in the eyes, and she said the name Gibby 3 times really clearly. And her speech isn't all that great, but the first time she said that, she said the name, I kind of thought, oh wow, you know. And then she said it again and then again clearly. I don't know, I just felt, I can't even explain it. It's just, it was like relieved and happy. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, she got to meet my friend. And I remember holding her and telling her, oh my gosh, Aurora, Gibby was mom's good friend. You know, I think he looks after us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing. It was those two things, you know, of course they revolve around my daughter, but also a good friend who, by the way, used to live in my house. We rented our house to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then within a year he passed away. Unfortunately, a drunk driver hit him and you know, they took him from us.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to call in and let you know, I've got quite a few other stories, but I thought, you know, I want to call in with these two.
Thank you for sharing that. It makes you wonder, because some would go, well, why didn't your friend come to you? But maybe it was one of those sensitivity things where your friend knew that he would be able to get the message across to your daughter stronger than you, just because of the way, however this works, if you will, you know, the communication between the living and the dead.
Yeah, I just thought, wow, I have someone looking over us. That it was amazing. So, and I even ask, you know, sometimes every now and then, and my family would say, you know, yeah, we feel something. I said, but it isn't bad. I always tell them, I always tell it, it's not a bad feeling that I have in my house. And so we're fine with it. Whatever's there, we're fine with it. If it's my friend, hey, you know, we loved him, he can stick around.
Yeah, well, that's good.
That's a neat story.
That's a good ghost to have.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
So either way, those are my stories.
All right.
Thank you for taking the call. And I started listening to your show about 2 weeks ago. I've been telling my friends. And day number two, I became an EPP. So I'm happy with the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, without you being an EPP, without all of our great listeners being EPPs, this thing could not exist and we couldn't be able to do this. So you guys are what makes this show. So thank you so much for the story. And thanks for being an EPP. We greatly appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Keep it up. Thank you.
All right. Happy Halloween. Goodbye. All right. Bye-bye. All right. 662-25-GHOST is a phone number to call in. And by the way, I saw Cisco was trying to call during that call. So Cisco, feel free to dial us back. I don't have a way to like grab a call and put it on hold while the other call is running. We're not that technologically advanced here yet. Maybe by Halloween 2017, we'll have a way to do that. In fact, I think Cisco is joining us right now. Hi, Cisco. Are you there? Cisco? Are you there? I think Cisco has a bad connection.
Yeah, I think so.
Hold on, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Halloween! Boo!
Boo!
Boo! Happy Halloween, Cisco. Welcome to our Halloween Friday, or not Friday Live, Halloween Live.
Wow, this is awesome. See, oh gosh, I'm so proud of you guys. I just can't even tell you. I thought I would call in. Would you like to hear just a little stubborn ghost story?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know how I've always told you, and your listeners are just, you know, for what are we at now? 2 years? 3 years?
Three.
Wow. Time flies.
It does.
Okay. Yes, it's so cool. It's so cool. But everybody is learning that basically when you pass, sometimes you decide to stay. You're not just necessarily caught or whatever. You actually have a free will in some cases to stay. And the reason we find out a lot of times that they stay is because just like the ghosts in Gettysburg, if you remember that story, they were actually afraid to cross over because of things they had done and things they had learned and believed all their lifetime that they were here, so they knew what this was about. And although it was awful and they were kind of stuck in whatever loop or time thing that they were in, they were afraid to cross over into the light, so to speak, because they were afraid of what was over there. So me and a couple of my very close friends, I have a friend where, remember we were talking about sometimes a spirit will connect into your energy because you have something similar, that you're going through something similar that they were. Well, it connected into this friend, and now this spirit actually visits this friend of mine in their dreams. And that's the way it's choosing to communicate. The odd thing is, another friend I spoke to who has a lot of ability, she's more of a medium, probably a medium psychic with a couple of sidecars of clairaudience and clairsentience and a whole different stuff. Lots of ability. Well, I was sitting there talking to her, and I went to her for another reason. And she goes, hold on, I want to talk about this guy and who he's dreaming about and the spirit that's trying to communicate with him. And they don't know each other, for one thing, which was a blast. And she gave me a couple of symbols and things about it and that she could not have possibly known. And it turns out that it takes all of us together, collectively, trying to get him to be convinced to turn around and go into the light. This is about 5 times now. And he gets very close, and he's just stubborn, and he says, you know what? No, I'm not going yet. He's not ready yet. So we can have some very stubborn ghosts, and it turns out that, you know, it basically it's just the human qualities. You know, if you were, you keep whatever you were. So it just brings a little bit about the ghosts for people to thing back to light, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing because if you are a ghost and you're a human ghost and people are telling you or you realize you need to go into the light, I could see that still being a fairly scary proposition because you still don't know what is on beyond that light. And if you're kind of still okay, you're dead, but you're still in the realm of the living, if you will, and you're able to kind of wander around and still somewhat interact with the living, the idea of going through this light and all of that you knew when you were alive and some bit when you were dead, suddenly that's all going to change and it's a big unknown. I could see that being, you know, a bit of a scary yeah. proposition.
Yes, it is. And at first, the friend that had that, apparently his way of picking up a lot of this stuff is through dreams, and his dreams tend to come true. Like he'll see a construction accident a couple weeks before it happens. It's very frustrating for him because he doesn't know what he's supposed to do with it. You know, don't show me things I can't stop kind of deal. So he's frustrated, and he was talking to me about this, and he's like, what is going on here? And we spent days just trying to find out where exactly this was just by, you know, it's so funny how, you know, things have changed because now we're trying to place different buildings that he saw him next to a river in, you know, with certain topographical things. And we're sitting there on Google Earth trying to go, okay, where to find the ghost, you know,
yeah.
Where is he? And it was just amazing. In 3 days, we're trying to figure it out. And just sitting in front of my other friend, just having a sandwich and talking about something else, she looked up at me. She said, stop looking for the place. He's created his own, very much like a what dreams may come kind of thing, where he's created, he feels depressed and down, so he's created this kind of an area around him that mm-hmm. that place did exist, but it doesn't look as dismal as it does in the dreams this guy was having. It's so multi-layered, it's yeah. crazy. It's complicated yet very simplistic. It seems like we create our own reality, or you can be stuck in that, like what dreams may come. That one woman was very depressed and everything around her was very dark and dismal, and all she had to do was think her way out of it. And, you know, it's just, it adds a couple of more layers to that paranormal onion we're so interested in. The more you peel, the next layer you get, and you think you've got it, and then something says, nope.
I almost feel like with the paranormal, we're peeling it like from the inside out, because it just gets bigger yep. and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that by peeling this back, we're narrowing this down by any means. I feel like
exactly.
it's just like it's growing.
Yep. But we're going to stay on this. We're gonna do our very best to convince them. I'm going to try to get in there. Like I said, we're trying to do a little bit more communication with him and trying to get him to read my intent, that we're not trying to trick him or mm-hmm. or something else. But it's very difficult. Can you imagine just today if somebody came up to you alive and well and told you everything you had believed in was wrong mm-hmm. and it was like this and flipped the coin on you? It's hard enough to try to, you know, help somebody who's alive and can, you know, study it and make up their own mind rather than just a bunch of people trying to go, okay, you don't need to be here. You need to be free, mm-hmm. and you need to be, you know, go get your peace. And that's kind of what we did on the Gettysburg field that night. But I think it's going to take more than just three of us. I think it's going to be a group effort on this one. But we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up.
So, good.
It's almost like for the spirit.
But I just thought I would tell you that. And happy Halloween, and ghosts were people too. And, you know, and everybody just be safe out there and be kind to one another.
All right. Jenny wanted to say one more thing.
I was going to say, it's almost like for the spirit, it's like a second death. It's like a second going into a dimension that they don't have any idea where they're going. And it's,
oh yeah,
it's very much a leave everything they know of behind. And they've already done it once when they died, and now they're doing it again. So that's interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's very much like one of the two mediums after I spoke to her. Like I said, I have very little ability. Most of mine lay on empath and compassionate. And, you know, I can't speak directly. I have to get it translated, which is odd. But, you know, another one sat down and, you know, we started going over it. And she said, basically, it's just like therapy. You know, you don't, when you sit down in a therapy session, you don't get, you know, help, or, you know, you have to peel it all away. What are they, you know, what are they regretting? What did they do? What mm-hmm. are they, you know, and trying to peel it away. So, I basically, you know, at this point, this is five times, I said, send for his mother. Tell his mother to come and get him.
At least then it'd be like, some recognition, and it's not a little less scary.
Yeah, I'm getting your mother. This is it. I'm tired of this. I'm getting your mother, you know. But yeah, and usually something like that works. You send for their loved one or, you know, somebody that they trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that person shows up, they go, okay, you know, they're telling you the truth here. You know, we're not trying to trick you. So,
yeah.
But it's just, you know, leave no man behind, leave no ghost behind, you know. Yeah. Like I said, you just be kind to one another and try to help if you can. So that's what I'm still out here doing it.
All right.
You know, well, how you doing, Jenny?
I'm good.
I'm sure that you can wrap your head around that one, huh? It's crazy.
We're doing good. We're doing real good. So
Great. Well, happy Halloween, guys. I want to let somebody else get through.
All right. Thank you.
And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Cisco.
Thanks, Cisco.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
All right,
bye, guys.
Bye. Cisco, as you guys, if you're a longtime listener to the show, she's one of our original listeners, contributors, storytellers from way back, like, you know, 600, 700 episodes ago.
Right.
And then every once in a while, she pops her head in still and then gives us some new stories, some new insight and some thoughts. So always appreciate hearing from her. I'm going to try and get one more call in here before we wrap up. Hi, who's this?
This is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy. Happy Halloween.
Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me? Sandy, turn the radio down or turn the stream down.
Okay, let me find my volume here.
There's a delay.
Okay. sorry about that.
It's okay. You got a ghost story for us?
Well, actually, yeah.
All right. We got just a few minutes left, so let's hear it.
Okay. I live in a haunted house.
Okay.
My boyfriend and I do. And we've had several investigations here, and we've picked everything up from orbs, EVPs, shadow people, being touched, even having people's names called that you could hear with your own ears. I was actually picked up and thrown approximately 5 to 6 feet in full view of some friends of mine on Skype. And I cannot jump. My body, I'm not allowed to jump because of my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do that. So, yeah, we are going through a lot of stuff here right now because of the holidays. I've actually had a parakeet that was recently killed by something negative here that was thrown in her cage and her neck was broken.
Oh, goodness.
What have you been doing to try and get rid of this thing?
We have been saging. I've actually done a sage just here recently with prayer and even using sea salt on the thresholds and things of that nature.
Any luck?
No. If anything, it amps it up and ticks it off big time.
You know, unfortunately, you know, I hate to hear these things happening to you, but... she here has an example of, because people ask all the time, well, mm-hmm. you know, sage the house, do the sea salt, ask it to leave, you know. And we don't really give recommendations on what to do because we don't know. We don't have any ideas on that. But, you know, those are the typical things. And I always do say, it's like, you know, you can try these things. People have had some success, or it could make things worse. And it sounds like what's going on with you is an example of things getting worse.
Yeah, big time. Very much. And... you know, which I'm also an investigator myself with a local group, and I was their first client, and I joined the group just a few months ago, and the things that I've seen full-on, full-body apparitions, and it will blow your mind at the things that you can see out there.
Yeah.
And for anybody that does not believe, let me tell you, it's real.
Yeah, sometimes people need to experience it firsthand to really grasp what the reality of this. Do you have anything that you're planning? Any ideas on how to deal with this? Because it sounds like this is getting to be an unlivable situation with things like that going on, with your pets being killed and you being thrown out of a chair.
Yeah, well, I was actually picked up. I was walking down the hallway and picked up and thrown.
Okay.
And I'm not a small woman.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm a big girl, and I was picked up about 2 to 3 feet off the ground.
So are you just gonna try and essentially live with this, or are there other things in your mind as far as what you're gonna try and do?
I don't say the word here because it amps it up even more, but we're going to do the MOVING.
Okay.
Sure.
Because we can't live like this.
No, and unfortunately, that sometimes is the only option. And unfortunately, it's not an option for a lot of folks as well. Let's hope ghosts can't spell.
Yeah.
You know, really.
I've got two here that, you know, I have no problem with, but the rest of them, they got to go. Or we do.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. And... hi, Kim. I had to throw that out there. That's the lady that is the leader of my group. So, but yeah, I thank you so much for everything that y'all are doing and having the radio show here. And I'm a first-time viewer, so whoop whoop. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your experiences with us, and we hope that things calm down once you do that.
We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Happy Halloween.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. That's just an example.
Yeah.
That unfortunately is the reality oftentimes with this. It's, you don't always have the answer. No one sometimes has the answer. Sometimes it's literally physically getting out of the situation. So there you go. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our Facebook Halloween Live.
Yeah.
For 2016. This was fun.
We should do this every year.
We should. Maybe we should do some more of these too, just during the year.
I think so.
In general, with some calls and whatnot. I mean, I do Friday Live, and you've joined me on one recently.
One, yeah.
But maybe we'll do some of these where it's actually an episode.
Okay.
Because sometimes Friday Live is usually not an episode. Every once in a while, I make it into one. But a lot of times, it's just Facebook exclusive. But this is, we really turned it into a full episode of the show.
It worked out.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for watching. Happy Halloween to everybody. We have children to go get all Halloweened up. And
fill them full of candy.
Yeah. And I'm going to, yes, you can have all of your candy and then slowly kind of eat it. and then hide the bag of candy. We actually found the bag of candy, the candy bag the other day.
Uh-huh.
And there's still some candy left from last year in it, believe it or not. Our kids are not like how I was. I don't know how you are with your Halloween candy, but I ate it.
Make it last. If it lasts till Easter, it was a good year.
Yeah, that would happen sometimes, but it's just the only things that were left were like the peanut butter kisses that were like the wax ones.
The gummy
like,
spiders.
Like, here, Dad, enjoy. Love you. All right, happy Halloween, everybody. Thank you all for watching on Facebook Live. We greatly appreciate that. Have a safe Halloween. And, of course, show doesn't end. We continue on new episodes all throughout the week here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, consider becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask. Or sign up for a full year and claim your bunk bed bell. You can ring along with us at home. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening, and happy Halloween from all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online.